My brothers and sisters in Christ, you're familiar with the saying, appearances are deceiving. Appearances are deceiving. That's certainly the case with our Old Testament and Gospel readings this evening. And those readings offer us some important lessons. Okay? The scribes, whom Jesus criticizes, were experts in the Jewish law. Of course, that was a law that wasn't just religious, civil law as well. It was all combined together. His criticism surely did not apply to all of them. Some of the other Gospels reflect more favorably on some of the scribes, nor obviously to Jewish scholars today. But the ones he criticizes had a penchant for what the Italians call la bella figura. La bella figura. What's that? The beautiful facade that masks an ugly interior. These scribes focused on external things, finely woven clothes and places of honor and salutations and so on. It always makes you a little comfortable to hear these words from Jesus, because I have to wear these long robes and I get these salutations, Your Excellency. Then I don't like that one, but they do it. And then some of the places I go after confirmation, like the one I had today, they say, Bishop, they won't start eating until you go first. It's a sin of the laity, I'd say. Okay, all right. At any rate, but these scribes were focused on those things, but inside they were pious frauds, offering long prayers for widows with money, but only if the widows paid them handsomely. Okay, their appearance of piety was false. It was all bella figura. Huh? The appearance was deceiving. Huh? Now, in contrast, the widows in the reading from 1 Kings and from Mark's Gospel make no pretense to be other than what they are. They were poor, humble women. Okay? But that appearance is also deceiving, but in a better way. Because each of them was willing to give all that she had, one to feed a starving prophet, the other to provide for the needs of the temple. Each was more than she appeared to be on the surface. They were models of generosity, unlike the self-serving and rapacious scribes. A humble appearance masked the inner greatness of these women. We proclaim God's word at Mass because God instructs us through it. Huh? We learn from these two women not to judge others by their appearances, or to be more concerned about our own appearance than about what we really are. We need to be more attentive to substance than to appearance in both cases, towards others and toward ourselves. Illustrative of this point, in the Old Testament, when God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint one of Jesse's sons, and they were in Bethlehem, as the new king of Israel, the prophet was very impressed with the oldest son of Jesse. But God rejected him, telling Samuel, "Not as man sees does God see, because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart." And so God indicated who was to be the new king, the youngest son, David. God knows each one of us to the core of our being. He's not fooled by appearances. We shouldn't be either. What enabled the two widows to be as generous as they were? They trusted God to take care of them. The widow who fed Elijah was rewarded for that trust. She, her son, and the prophet ate for the next year in a time of famine. The jar of flour did not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry. While we don't know what happened to the widow who gave the two small coins, the smallest ones in circulation, we know she must have trusted God to sustain her. It's likely that the Lord Jesus knew his Father would care for her, or he would not have commended an act which by worldly standards was very imprudent. One of the things I enjoyed most as a parish priest is working with engaged couples. And as we get into discussion about, well, how do you actually love one another day in and day out? when it's sometimes it's not so easy. Huh? I would bring up that there is that little voice in the back of their heads that will keep that whispers, if I keep giving all of my love, all of my soul, everything to my spouse, who's going to take care of me? And I told them, Jesus says to you, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. It's also true for me as a celibate bishop, as I try to fulfill my responsibilities to you in this diocese. I rely on the Lord's promise to uphold me, and he does. We all need to have that trust in God's care for us. As we strive with God's help to follow Christ, we don't want our appearance to be deceiving. We want what we appear to be to correspond to the inner reality of our love of God and love of neighbor. When I was a new auxiliary bishop in Baltimore, I went to visit Bishop Bill Newman, a retired auxiliary bishop of that archdiocese, who was dying. And I'll never forget his words. He said, priests destroy their priesthood if they live a double life. I've seen that happen. But what is true for priests is also true for lay people and religious. We do no one, including ourselves, any good by pretending to be what we are not. The bella figura is the wrong way to live. Trying, struggling at times, to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, putting God and neighbor first, is always the right way to live. We have a Savior who offers us grace every day to help us on a pilgrimage of faith, and who willingly forgives our sins if we are sorry. The author of the letter to the Hebrews, our second reading, reminds us that Christ, offered once to take away the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to take away sin, but to bring salvation to those who eagerly await him. Christ's second coming, in my experience over the years, is a teaching we tend to ignore. But he keeps his promises. He said he'd come back, and he will when the time is right. With our sins already forgiven, we will be saved from death as we rise bodily to new life. Christ's appearance will not be deceiving, nor will the reality of our transformed bodies be deceiving. He and we will appear as we really are, transformed by the power of God. Our challenge now, with the help of God's grace, is to appear before God and others as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ.